Your Bibles, please. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to start. Hebrews chapter 11. The wonderful record of all the believers who trusted and walked with God. And Abraham is one of those men, and it talks about him in Hebrews 11, verse 17. We'll start there. And it says, "By faith Abraham," or by believing Abraham, "when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Interesting use of words, only begotten son, there, isn't it? "Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." You see, Abraham here was a type or an example of the Savior that was one day to come. Right? The same way that Abraham here offered up Isaac, his only son, the same way in which God offered up Jesus, his only son. And the believing of Abraham here was that, well, if I have to give him up, then God is going to raise him up. Right? And that's the resurrection was prophesied of way back in Genesis. Right? Look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16. At another time, they asked Jesus Christ about giving them a sign. And he told them, well, I'm not going to give you a sign, but I'm not going to give you any more sign than that was given by Jonah. Remember Jonah? The same day he said that, the same way that Jonah was 3 days and three nights dead, the same way that Jesus will be dead for 3 days. So another place where it's mentioned. Another place the resurrection is mentioned is in Psalm 16. And it says in verse 8. This is David. "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." So he talks about the Holy Ones not being left to corrupt. And how do we know it's about Jesus Christ? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, where this is quoted. We'll read it. Acts 2, and in verse 22... By the way, resurrection is mentioned so many times in the New Testament, right, that there's no way to obviously cover all those verses today. We're not going to try. Acts 2:22. It says, "Ye men of Israel," this is Peter speaking here, "hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him." Here, and here's the quote from Psalms. "I foresaw the Lord always before me, before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Right. Jesus Christ would not be left to corrupt. Jesus Christ is a living Savior. That's the great, wonderful blessing of having Jesus as your Savior. He is a living Savior. You'll remember many records in the Old Testament. Remember the one about Dagon, the god of the Philistines? Remember when they took the Ark of the Covenant and they put it where Dagon was? The next day, Dagon fell over, right? Like, he was standing up. Next day, he fell over, right? And next day, not only did he fall over, he lost his head and his arms and, sorry, his feet and hands. And the Bible says all that was left was the stump of Dagon, right? I mean, you want to compare what people worship to a living Savior, right? And yet people worship that. How about Baal? Remember Gideon? They asked Gideon to destroy the temple of Baal. And, well, Gideon went by night, and he destroyed the temple of Baal, destroyed Baal. And in the morning, they were all upset, saying, "Who dares destroy the temple of Baal?" And his father said, "Look, let Baal plead for himself." They needed people to defend their so-called God, right? You know, and time again, man has chosen to not serve the Lord. And here we have a living Savior. He's alive, right? He is living. He can actually do things as opposed to just fall over, right? And be a stump, right, like he was. And, you know, they have tried to resurrect other great men, so-called great men, through history, right? They have tried to do that just because Jesus Christ was raised. But Jesus Christ is the only one. The Bible says he's the first fruits. He's the only one that was raised from the dead and is still living today, right? In verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, right? And his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne, he, seeing this before, spake of what? The resurrection of Christ." If we had any doubts, that Psalm was talking about that. God says, David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. So God did raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And we're going to take a few minutes to look at some scriptures that talk about what happened around the time of Jesus Christ's death.
Okay, so if you guys want to turn to Matthew 28, we're going to look at when Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, his first appearances. In Matthew 28, verse 1, it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. So here the devil's just back at work trying to cover up what God had accomplished through raising Jesus Christ. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So that's just the first record of Jesus Christ being raised and his appearance to Mary Magdalene's disciples. And if you go to Mark 16, take a look at the second. And in verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had not seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, and neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord, working with them, and confirming the world with signs following. Amen. So this is a second viewpoint of the appearances after Jesus Christ was risen. And in Luke 24, we'll look at the two men that he talked to. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, that thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how ye spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day risen again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. And behold, two of them that went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. These are the two that was mentioned in Mark. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, 2 days is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So, I mean, that would have been a pretty amazing talk to hear from Jesus Christ himself, expounding all things about him throughout. And it's important that he could have just showed himself to them. I mean, that he was a pretty good symbol of proof that it happened. But he took them back to the Word and showed them the Word, and that's that he let the Word speak for himself above him just being a symbol for what had happened. So in verse 28, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he wouldn't have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye may have, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And will they yet believe not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So he's constantly teaching them, even after he had told them for so long what was going to happen, and they still didn't believe him. Then opened he their understanding, and they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So if we go to John 20, we'll see the fourth part. In verse 1 again. So it was the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So once again, he had told them before, and they didn't believe him. Then the disciples went home again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and she wept. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore saith unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that's us. I mean, we haven't seen, but we yet believe. So that he's talking about us. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Let's go back to Acts chapter 17 again, please. Thank you, Nathan. Acts 17. So no question, the records clearly show that Jesus was raised from the dead. Many people saw him. And it was interesting, Nathan pointed out, that even though those guys saw him, instead of him saying, Look, here I am, right, he said, Look what the Word says. He took them right back to the Word of God. Even when he was with them again later, with the whole group, he opened their understanding. They might understand the Scriptures. He didn't say, Well, look at me, watch me do a few miracles for you. Right? He didn't do that. So how important is it for us to know what the Word of God says? How important is it us, just like those men? Jesus Christ said it was important for those men, and they had been with him, right? Regularly. They had seen the miracles, they had walked with him. One of them had even walked on water with him, right? And yet it was important enough for Jesus to say, Look what the Scriptures say. Right? So how about Acts chapter 17, back to verse 23. We stopped there. Did I say 17? I meant 2. Why did I get 17? We were never in 17. It was a trick question. Acts 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Let's go back down to verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We're all witnesses. He said, this is the guy that God has raised up, which we're all witnesses. Now go to Acts chapter 17, please. We are going to go there. Acts 17. Down to verse 31. It says, because he, talking about God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. See, God marked Jesus Christ out as being the man, and he gave assurance to all. Who's all? Us. Right? Everybody. He says, I'm going to show you why I think Jesus Christ is the one. I'm going to raise him from the dead. Right? He's the only one he raised from the dead. Despite what others might say or think, Jesus Christ is the one that God raised from the dead, still living today. And that's the assurance to me and you that the word of God is true. I'm going to give assurance, not only am I raising him from the dead, he's going to be the judge of all later on in the end times. Right? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the place I mentioned that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is mentioned so much, well, the book of Acts, there isn't a single instance that I know of where they witnessed to people that they didn't mention the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? Why? Well, how do you get born again? Right? By believing Jesus is Lord and God, raised him from the dead. So every time they witnessed, they talked about the resurrection. Might be an indication of something we might want to mention when we talk to people. Right? You know, Christ was raised for you. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead for you. Right? For you. You know, if you want to accept him, he did it for you. Whoops, I just lost my place. Right. So, you know, the Bible certainly provides good guidance as to the things that God thought it was important to tell people. In 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have received in vain, believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Interesting, twice, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. This is the only mention of that in here, right? Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, verse 7, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? People still today say there is no resurrection of the dead. Right? True? You know, he's not raised. Right? Have you seen him? Right? You know, that's people that say silly things. The scriptures say that he raised, and here Paul was telling, you know, there's people saying that there is no resurrection. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Right? If there is no such thing as resurrection, then Christ isn't raised. Right? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. We might as well just go right to the tea and cookies right now, right? Because the rest of the stuff is a waste of time. If Christ is not risen, right? If he's risen, on the other hand, let's keep reading. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, when he whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, this is so logical, right? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. So all the things we've together learned over the years about how Christ has dealt with our sins and that we have eternal life and that someday he's coming back is all a lie, right? That's what Paul's writing here. If Christ be not raised. Verse 18, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. There is no coming back to life, right? There's no return. There's no eternal life. You see, everything you and I believe, everything any person in the world who is called a Christian believes is pivoted and staked with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God got him up. Nathan read it. How many times? What did he say? What are the three most wonderful words in the Bible? He is risen, right? That's it. That's what we believe. God got Jesus Christ up from the dead. Not only that, someday when he comes back, guess who's going to join him, right? We are, right? Everything we believe is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Tell people that, right? Let them know God raised Jesus Christ for you. You want eternal life? You got to believe that, right? Very simple. But now, I love this, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, right? Miserable. All this stuff we've been saying. Look at the next verse, though. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Now, Paul doesn't say if. He says what? He is risen from the dead, right? People saw him, right? He came and spoke to them. We're going to see another record in a minute here, but is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? You know what first fruits means that there are more coming. First fruits. Who else is coming? All those who have died believing in him, and then we which are alive at his coming, yeah? Right. All to join the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Verse 21, for since by man came death, then by Jesus Christ came also the resurrection. The first man talking about, there's Adam, he brought death, Jesus Christ brought the resurrection. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming, and not until then. Nobody else is up yet in heaven. Nobody else you can talk to. Nobody else is speaking down, looking down on us. That's going to happen at the return of Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 16. A couple more verses here. John 16. Verse 7, Jesus Christ said, look, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. He told them that it's profitable for them that he goes away. Why? He had to go away. Why? For if I go not away, he said, if I don't go, the Comforter will not come unto you. Right? He's saying that if I didn't leave, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would not be able to come to them. Right? Verse 7. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Here's a good question now. Jesus Christ said that if he didn't go away, he wouldn't be able to send the Comforter. Right? Did he send the Comforter? So what does that mean? Right? He had to go away, right? And what does it mean? If Jesus Christ sent the Comforter, then he was raised from the dead. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to do it, right? Look at that. We're going to close in Acts chapter 2 again. See, very, very important, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So every time that you and I use Holy Spirit for any purpose whatsoever. And I know, example, speaking in tongues today, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healing. Every time you use Holy Spirit, you are witnessing to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he even said it, if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter. So can you speak in tongues? Yeah. Can you interpret? Can you do all nine manifestations? Can you operate nine manifestations? Guess what? You are a living witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? What a blessing. What a blessing to be able to just so comfortably, so easily, just know that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That, you know, back, and we'll close in Acts 2, verse 31 again. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. By the way, it does say in verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens. Right? That's interesting, isn't it? For all those who believe that the dead are in heaven and waiting, well, it says here in the Bible that David is not ascended to heaven. Interesting. Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, here's what he said he was going to do. He said, if I go away, I'll send you the Comforter. So here he is, God raised him from the dead, and he received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Even Peter on that day says, look, he said he was going away. God raised him from the dead. God gave him Holy Spirit, and he shed forth the Holy Spirit to all those who choose to believe. So therefore, when they spoke in tongues on Pentecost, when you speak in tongues now, whatever you do with the Holy Spirit, you are a witness that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And those words spoken by the angels, he is risen, right, are an absolute reality, right? So let's be thankful that God didn't leave him in the grave, right? Let's be thankful of all the benefits that we can enjoy because of the wonderful resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let's make those three words, you know, our favorite words to hear. Not just to think about them on Resurrection Sunday, you know, but every day. Every day you wake up, you walk out that door, you are serving a living Savior. A living Savior, right? God bless.